Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study from Roland Springs Baptist Church. And we are studying now in the second part of Daniel, which is chapter 7 through 12. And we are studying today in Daniel chapter 9. And we are seeing in this study Daniel's dream. Not his dream, excuse me, Daniel's prayer. But we're going to concentrate on verses 24 through 27 because it's about the 70 weeks. And that's what we're going to focus on as we study this week. But let us begin our study today in prayer. Heavenly Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the great I Am, Lord of lords and King of kings, Almighty God, we just come to you today thanking you and praising you for who you are. Thank you for your precious word, for your precepts, for your statutes, for your commandments. And Father, we come before you today that we may study your word and that we may know you more, to see what a great and sovereign God you are. And we know we can't understand without the Holy Spirit, but we look to you, Father. As believers, we have the Holy Spirit living in us, and we are relying now upon the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, to teach us as we study today. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen. Now, looking at previously what we've been studying, we know that we've learned that this is all about kings and kingdoms. And We have learned that Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel had dreams or visions of coming kingdoms that would also rule God's people, Israel. So Daniel 5 records the account of the end of the Babylonian kingdom with Belshazzar, when he was king, and then Darius the Mede took over the kingdom. And this chapter fits between Daniel 8 and 9. So when you study, you will see as we study today that chapter 9, what we're studying today, is in between chapter 8 and 5. So you would look at chapter 8, then chapter 5, and then chapter 9. So this chapter fits in between 8 and 9. Okay? So it's kind of confusing, but you'll see as we go forward and study how it all comes together. Now, that chapter 9, verse 1, says that the events of this chapter took place in the first year of Darius while he was reigning over Babylon. So that happened shortly after Daniel 5. So you have to kind of look at the timeline to be able to see how that it fits together. And so the main theme we have learned of Daniel is that God Most High rules over mankind, and he bestows that rule on whomever he will. So we know that God is sovereign. Excuse me. Let's read chapter 9, verse 1 through 5. Now this is Daniel's prayer that he is praying for Israel and for himself. So I'll read this, and we're going to just briefly look through this, but go forward into these verses in 24 through 27. That's what we're concentrating on today. Verse 1 in chapter 9, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of Median descent, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, which represents the Babylonians, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of the years which were revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So that's what we're looking at today, is the 70 years that we will get the details on in verses 24 through 27. And verse 3, Daniel says, I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, Alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly, and rebelled, even turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. Now, this is Daniel seeking favor of forgiveness from the Lord God for the people and for himself. So, he was a man of God, and he had read in his childhood about Jeremiah's prophecy. So he recognized, according to God's word, that the 70 years of the Babylonian captivity were almost complete. Remember that Daniel and his friends were captive, and they were in that first siege. But now, this is later, whenever that 70 years is almost up. So in Leviticus, part of the law, Daniel might have been taught when he grew up, the Lord said that the land was to have a Sabbath rest every 7 years. Since Israel didn't obey, God rested the land during the years of their desolation when the people were in captivity. Now we're going to connect this in just a few minutes when we get further along. But in 2 Chronicles, it explains that Israel served the king of the Chaldeans or Babylonians until the rule of the king of Persia to fulfill what Jeremiah had said, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbath, the 70 years. So that's where this comes in place as we read this ninth chapter. So what did Daniel do after he read what Jeremiah said of this 70 years? He sought the Lord regarding the people based on God's word. And Daniel prayed and gave praise and thanksgiving for God, for who God is, and then he turned to confess the sin. So, what then do we see in these verses? We want to see, first of all, that he recognized that God was great and he was an awesome God, and he was a covenant-keeping God, and he was a God of loving kindness. So, let's read now verses 6 through 19 of chapter 9. Moreover, we have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. Righteousness belongs to you, O God, but to us open shame, as it is this day to the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all Israel, those who are nearby and those who are far away in all the countries to which you have driven them because of their unfaithful deeds which they have committed against you. Open shame belongs to us, O Lord, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belongs compassion, forgiveness, and we rebelled against God, nor have we obeyed the voice of our God to walk in his teaching, which he set before us through his servants, the prophets. Indeed, all Israel has transgressed your law and turned aside, not obeying your voice. So the curse has been poured out on us, along with the oath which is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, for we have sinned against him. Thus he has confirmed the words which he had spoken against us and against our rulers, who ruled us, to bring us on us great calamity. For under the whole heaven there has not been done anything what was done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come on us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our iniquity and giving attention to your truth. Now remember, this is Daniel's prayer, and he prayed first, giving praise to God, and now he is giving confession of what they had done, all Israel. He said, therefore the Lord has kept the calamity in store and brought it on us. For the Lord our God is righteous with respect to all his deeds which he has done, but we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who has brought you your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and have made a name for yourself, as it is this day, we have sinned, and we have been wicked. O Lord, in accordance with all your righteous acts, let now your anger and your wrath turn away from your city Jerusalem, your holy mountain. For because of our sins and iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach to all those around us. So now, our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his supplication. And for your sake, O Lord, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. And verse 18 says, O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolation and the city which is called by your name. For we are not presenting our supplications before you on account of any merits of our own, but on account of your great commission. So here we see again, we learn through Daniel's prayer about God and about the nation of Israel. He says that the Lord is righteous, he is compassionate, he is forgiving, and he told them to live holy and righteously, and he said that God keeps his word, even of calamity for disobedience. And then he goes on, and he is very humble. Though he was successful, God blessed him throughout this 70 years. And Daniel was very humble, and he loved his people, and he loved Jerusalem. So he prayed based on the name of the word of the Lord, and he called himself God's servant, and he confessed the sin of his people Israel and his own sins. So, looking at Daniel's prayer that we have seen so far, it was all based on the word of God, and he prayed specifically for his people Israel and for his holy city Jerusalem. And then we see that he was praying for Israel. Israel was the one that was in captivity, and they're the ones that had sinned. And we know that Jerusalem was destroyed because they had rebelled against God, turning from his commandments, but they hadn't listened even to the prophets that God spoke in using the prophets, use God's name. And like Jeremiah, he prophesied during the siege of Jerusalem. And then verses 11 through 14 specifically mentions the curse of the law that was poured out on Jerusalem because of their disobedience. So the calamity God brought on them confirmed his word. And then looking at verses 15 through 19, Daniel petitioned God to turn his anger away from Jerusalem, his holy mountain, the city that was called by his name, and to make his face to shine on his desolate sanctuary and to take action for the people called by his name. Now, let's read verses 20 through 23. Now, I, Daniel, was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God in behalf of the holy mountain of my God. And while I was speaking in prayer, then the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision of previously, came to me in my extreme weariness about the time of the evening offering, and he gave me instruction and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have come forth to give you insight with understanding. At the beginning of your supplications, the command was issued, and I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed to give heed to the message and to gain understanding of the vision. Now let's look at what these verses are saying. Daniel is still praying and he's confessing and he's still making supplication for himself and Israel and Jerusalem. And then there is one that comes to him, and we learn in the scriptures it's Gabriel, and it's about time for the evening offering. So Daniel said that this was the man he had seen in his previous vision, and that was probably, as we go back, we see that vision where Gabriel came in Daniel chapter 8. And now we see, after much praying, that Daniel was in extreme weariness when Gabriel came. And so, you know, when you look at this and you think about this prayer that Daniel prayed, he was serious with God, and he was praying with all of his heart, and he was pouring out himself. And this prayer is certainly an example for us. Do we pray before God until we become so weary from it that we are worn down? Or do we just casually go through our prayers But we're seeing Daniel here that he is praying with all of his heart. He is pouring out himself. And in verse 23, Gabriel, the angel, told Daniel that he would give him understanding of the vision, but no vision, of course, is reported in chapter 9. So he may have been referring back to chapter 8, that vision. So, going forward here, let's look at verses. But before we leave, let's look at verse 23, because the angel Gabriel tells him that he is highly esteemed. That means that before God, he was very precious in God's sight. He was a chosen one by God because he was highly esteemed. Now let's read verses 24 through 27. So, 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make an atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree or commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah, Jesus the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and it will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. And after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end will come with a flood. Even to the end, there will be war. Desolations are determined. And he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he will put to a stop to sacrifice and grain offerings, and on the wing of abomination will come one who makes desolate even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed is poured out on the one who makes desolate. Now, our study today is centered or concentrated or surrounded by these verses, 24 through 27. So we want to look at these and we want to try to get the understanding. You have to know and understand about the sevens, the 7 weeks, the 7 years, the 77s that's decreed, about the seven Sabbaths. So that's what we want to look at. Here we're looking at Daniel's prayer. It was based on what he read in Jeremiah about the 70 years of Babylonian captivity coming to an end and his people returning to Jerusalem. So the insight given to him had to do with what Daniel had prayed. It related to his people Israel and his holy city. And it had to do also with another 77s decreed for the Jews and Jerusalem. The 70 years of captivity were because the land had not rested every 7 years for 490 years. So we have to understand their judgment was brought against them, against the Israelites, against these Hebrews, those in Jerusalem. It was because they had not obeyed God. You have to go back and study in Leviticus to understand what the law of God decreed to them at this time. They were to let the land that they tilled and cultivated to rest every 7 years, and they were to do that constantly every 7 years. But for, it's, scripture says, for 490 years, that is 77s, they had not, the land had not rested, it says, for 7 years. Now, for 490 years, which is 77s, it's kind of hard to understand. So I'm going to try to give some things that you may want to write down. If you took 77s, 7 years times 70, that would equal 490 years. So Daniel had prayed, confessing this transgression of them not letting the land rest. And so the first decree for his people and the holy city was to finish the transgression. And it was to make an end to their sin. It was to make atonement for iniquity. Now this was what his prayer was, to bring an everlasting righteousness. It was to seal up vision and prophecy. And it was to anoint the most holy place. And we see that in part of this last part of his prayer in the confession. Now, let's look at verse 25. And I'm going to try to break down these sevens that are mentioned so that we can have a better understanding. This is as I have been taught. So verse 25 begins, it gives the beginning of the 77s decreed for Daniel's people and the holy city Jerusalem from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Now, Nehemiah chapters 1 and chapters 2, write that down so you can go back and read. You want to read in the book of Leviticus and in the book of Jeremiah. But in Leviticus 1 and 2, they record God's word that in the 20th year of his reign, 445 or 446 B.C., that King Artaxerxes, and I'm probably not pronouncing correct, Artaxerxes of Persia decreed permission for the Jews to rebuild Jerusalem. So let's look at these 7 weeks and see what they stand for and how that we can put them together as we study. Weeks, word in Hebrew is Shabbaya, S-H-A-B-U-A, and it means a period of seven. Now Daniel's 77s, which is 490, could refer to 490 weeks or months or years. So, were these events to happen in 490 weeks, 490 months, or 490 years? Now, looking back at verse 25, it says that there will be 7 weeks. Now, that's sevens. and 62 weeks, that's sevens, equaling 69 weeks. Sevens or 483 from the issuing of a decree until Messiah, until Jesus. Now, did Messiah come in 483 weeks, months, or years from King Artaxerxes' decree that was issued in 445 or 446b? Now, if the sevens are years, that would be 49 years and 434 years, totaling 483 years. Roughly, that is the same time from the decree to Jesus' first coming. Now just keep that all in mind. In verse 25, Gabriel told Daniel that Jerusalem would be rebuilt even in times of distress. The first seven sevens, which could be 49 years, probably referred to the time of the rebuilding of Jerusalem and restoring it to a thriving city. So Daniel knew that the Lord would answer his prayer and that Jerusalem would be rebuilt. Now, let's go on and let's look at verse 26. In verse 26, we see that Gabriel the angel told Daniel what would happen after that, after the 62 weeks, that was 434 years, Messiah would be cut off. That is the crucifixion. That's whenever Christ was crucified. And again, the city and sanctuary would be destroyed. Now, who destroyed Jerusalem at that time? Jesus warned in Luke 21 that Jerusalem would be surrounded by armies in days of vengeance to fulfill all that was written. So Jerusalem would be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Titus, the Roman general, destroyed Jerusalem in A.D. 70. Now the Romans were the Gentiles. And from that time, Jerusalem has indeed been trampled by the Gentiles, even part of the time since the creation of the state of Israel in 1948. We know that at that time, Israel was made a state in the year 1948 in our time. So the people of the prince who is to come is a reference to the Romans. That's the people of the prince who is to come. This is a clear reference to the Roman Empire spoken of in Daniel as the fourth kingdom that we studied in the statue in the beginning in chapter 2. It seems from Jesus' statement that the times of the Gentiles, the trampling of Jerusalem, began in A.D. 70. So Daniel 9, verse 26, concludes with, "To the end there will be war." And this, of course, is what's happened to Jerusalem ever since the time of the Romans. Now, let's look at verse 27. Here in this verse, we are looking at what is coming about, it says, and he, the prince who is to come, will make a covenant with the many for 1 week. Now, that's seven again, and it could represent and representing 7 years, because we know, according to what we've been studying, a seven could be 7 weeks or 7 years or 7 months. But we know, according to the word, here it represents 7 years. But in the middle of the week, in the middle of the 7 years, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offerings, and on the wing of abundant nations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. Now let's see what this verse is saying. First of all, who is the he in 27? He is the prince who is to come from verse 26. So we go back to verse 26 and we see that that is referring to, therefore, he would be a part of the Roman kingdom. So that's what we learned in verse 26. He will make a covenant with the many. And that's a reference to the Jews of Jerusalem at that time for 1 7 or 7 years. And is this after the time that the Gentiles is fulfilled? The firm covenant he will make is going to be, has to be to do with sacrifice and offerings. Therefore, it's another temple in Jerusalem where offerings and sacrifices will be made. Now, this is speaking to the coming of the Antichrist in the last 7 years. That is, we'll read more about as we go forward in Daniel. And it also carries us into the book of Revelation. That is, the vision was given by John the Revelator. But here we see that at this time, in this first part of the 3.5 years, a temple will be made, and they will be, the Jews will be making offerings and sacrifices. But in the middle of the seven, the 3.5 years later, he will break that covenant. He makes a covenant that they can do these sacrifices and offerings, and he makes a covenant that there will be peace. But in the middle of it, he's going to break that covenant. And he will do that by stopping the sacrificing. And he, the Antichrist, is the one who makes desolate, the one who brings in the abomination until a complete construction. And then he will suffer the complete destruction decreed for him. Now, if you look in Daniel, chapter 7, verse 23 through 26. If you want to write this down, Daniel 7, 23, 26. 1 John 2, verse 22. And 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Now you will find the prince is the Antichrist in 1 John 2. The man of lawlessness and the son of destruction of 2 Thessalonians, and he is the little horn of Daniel 7. Now I'll repeat that if you want to write this down, because it'll help you as we go forward. The prince is the Antichrist of 1 John 2, 22. And he is the man of lawlessness and son of destruction that is written in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. And he is the little horn of Daniel 7, verses 23 through 26. Now, I want to go on farther and finish out this study today. I know that it's a lengthy study, but it's necessary to be able to understand the remaining and to be able to connect this with the first six chapters. Now, all of the last seven of the 77s were fulfilled by the crucifixion. The times of the Gentiles trampling Jerusalem started in A.D. 70. And the last seven is the 7 years before Jesus' second coming. That's going to be the time of tribulation. And that will total 49 years, seven times seven. That will be four. That's the last seven of the 7 years. But the last seven is the tribulation. The prince who is to come will make a firm covenant with Israel, and there will be another temple in Jerusalem for sacrifices. Now that prince is the Antichrist. 3.5 years later, he will stop the sacrifices, speak out against God Most High, and reveal himself as the man of lawlessness, taking his seat in the temple and declaring himself God. And that is the abomination of desolation. He is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, the dragon. And he is the first beast in Revelation 13. And the second beast is the false prophet we find in Revelation 13. So it might be the decluding influence of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, after the last 3.5 years are completed, complete destruction will be poured out on him. And of course, we know that that stone that fell on the feet of the statue in Daniel chapter 2 is Jesus and his kingdom. And whenever all of that last 3.5 years is completed, he will return and set up his kingdom here on the earth. So the New Testament church needs to remember that Daniel is about Israel and not about the church. So we want to keep that in mind as we go forward and be much in prayer, because each and every one of us need prayer and understanding. And we just want to pray that God will give us the understanding of his word as we study. I just pray now that we each one will go back and review all of this, the notes that you took. Go back and listen again and read again. The more you read and the more you hear the word, the more understanding God will give you. So let us close now in prayer. Father, again we thank you for your precious word. And it's so deep. And Father, there's so much that we can't understand, because we know that you're the one, through your Holy Spirit, gives us understanding. And we just pray, Father, that you will give us understanding. Help us to see what a great and sovereign and almighty God that you are. That before time began, you had all of this planned, and everything has come about, Father, up to this day, we can see everything has been fulfilled up until these last days. The future that we're studying about now and that is written in the book of Revelation. Help us, Father, to be ready. Help us to be ready to testify to those that are in this world that don't know Jesus, Father, that before that last time of tribulation comes, that many will believe and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior and be saved. And we just give you the praise, honor, and glory for it all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.